Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. We have a busy docket, and as you can see, we are back in the Crime Talk studio. First on the docket, prosecutors agree Lori Vallow is not competent to proceed. This is huge. What does it mean? Second, Aiden Fucci's mother was arrested. Wait till you hear what she did. Third, Ghislaine Maxwell gets an A for effort for trying to get some diaries from some of the complaining witnesses. Didn't quite work out the way she planned. Fourth, let's help find this guy. Fifth, guy who's not going to get the Father of the Year award. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, leave me a comment, and also hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, first on the docket. This is huge. Now, this motion was filed Friday, but it was just made public today. That's right. The government, the prosecutors in the Lori Vallow matter do not contest that she is not competent to proceed. That's right. The government confesses the motion, withdraws its contest of that hearing, and basically Lori Vallow is found not competent to proceed. Let's take a look. This case has gone on now for over a year, and not much has taken place. Lori Vallow wasn't at any of the hearings. Everything kind of kept getting delayed, and no one really knew why. It was never made public that a competency evaluation was being done on Lori Vallow until literally the last proceeding when she was indicted for murder, and all of a sudden the defense moves to continue the advisement on the grounds that she's not competent to proceed, which we found out a couple days later because they didn't discuss it at the hearing. I'm not sure exactly what the big secret was, but the district attorney said, we contest the findings in that report regarding competency of Lori Vallow. Well, Friday afternoon, the prosecutor files with the court a withdraw of contest regarding 18-211. What does that mean? Very quickly, here it says, the state of Idaho, by and through Madison County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, acting as special prosecutor for Fremont County, hereby informs the court that the state has reviewed the 18-211 evaluation and report of defendant Lori Vallow Daybell and corresponding data provided by the court-appointed examiner with the state's own expert. Based upon said review, the state withdraws its contest to the 18-211 evaluation/report and does not object to the court's determination of competency on the basis of the evaluation. The state further does not object to a medical physician's evaluation and diagnosis of the defendant with a corresponding treatment plan for the purpose of restoring the defendant's competence. So what does that really mean? Obviously, a report was prepared at the request of the court after an evaluation of Lori Vallow. It came back that she was not competent to proceed. The state objected, as the state did in being diligent in preparation for their hearing. They were able to consult an expert, and based upon the state's own expert, they obviously agreed that Lori Vallow is not competent to proceed. What does that mean? It does not mean that she is going home. It just simply means they are going to send her off, be evaluated by a bunch of medical doctors, come up with a treatment plan to restore her to competency so that they can then come back and try her for all of her cases. There must have been something compelling in the report for the state to basically confess the findings of not competent, and now the case is paused as it relates to Lori Vallow. All of her cases are now paused, so nothing will take place on those matters. Lori Vallow will go off to a state facility where she will not be free, but she will be in custody, and they will try to restore her to competency. How do they do that? Usually drugs, lots and lots of drugs to get people back to being normal again. And what does that usually include? My guess is, and I hate to guess, but based upon what's taken place, the nature of the case, I would imagine that it was some sort of psychosis. And as you may recall, remember this guy, John Hinckley Jr.? Now, he went to trial and was found not guilty by reason of insanity for the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan. He was trying to impress Jodie Foster, and he suffered from acute psychosis. Well, that happened back in 1981, and it wasn't until the last year or so that he's actually been released from a facility where he can now live with his mom. And get this, he apparently has his own YouTube channel whereby he puts up songs that he plays and sings, apparently, because he's now competent to proceed. I cannot imagine that it is going to take the state, I would say, more than a year to make Lori Vallow competent again. I have seen cases where people have serious psychosis. And psychosis means is they can appear to be somewhat normal, have rational conversations, but that everything then kind of comes back around to what kind of brought this all together. And usually it's some sort of crazy stories or beliefs that take place, and they truly believe them. Now, having weird and strange beliefs doesn't necessarily make you not competent, but it can. Particularly if you're unable to assist your defense, you don't have any grasp of the evidence against you and believe kind of that everything's going to be okay and I'm just going to get up and explain everything, that my strange beliefs should make sense to everybody. So that can be a form of psychosis. And understand, I am not a medical doctor. I'm not a PhD psychologist. I don't even attest to play one on TV, but I'm speaking from my own personal experience representing criminal defendants that have been found not to be competent and basically found never to be able to be restored. So we'll have to wait and see if the hearing that was set for June 16th, 2021, will proceed in some manner. More than likely it will. The court could do it all based upon the paper and simply issue an order stating that she be sent to the state facility and be restored to competency, like I said, which could include drugs. And if somebody fails to or refuses to take the drugs, then they can seek court authorization to have them forcefully take the drugs to restore them to competency. Doesn't mean Lori Vallow is getting a free pass. It just means that the whole process is being delayed. The question then will become, if she ever gets back to being restored to competency, will there be a not guilty by reason of insanity defense that could play into her possible defenses? If one is found not guilty by reason of insanity, yes, you are acquitted, but it doesn't mean you go free. It simply means that you are sent to the mental health facility and they will monitor you for the next several decades to see if you are actually a danger to yourself and to others before you are ever released, if at all. It will be interesting to see how long it takes to restore Ms. Vallow to competency and whether the doctors will decide whether she is malingering down there or not. Because everything Lori Vallow says down there, the prosecutors are going to get a bite at it. So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, this certainly begs the question, how will this affect the arraignment for Chad Daybell, which is set for June 9th, which is 2 days from now? Probably not going to affect anything. This is what Chad Daybell wanted, or at least his attorney did. He wanted a separate trial. Now he gets it, and now he's got the perfect defense. This lady and her brother were probably crazy, and now it certainly helps his defense. We'll see how things play out. All right. Next on the docket, Aiden Fucci's mother. That's right. She's been arrested. For those of you who are not familiar with the Aiden Fucci matter, He is a 14-year-old being tried as an adult for the killing of a 13-year-old classmate by the name of Tristan Bailey. She was stabbed over 100 times. Well, Aiden Fucci's mother, Crystal Smith, has been arrested basically for tampering with evidence. Apparently, the police got some surveillance video from inside the house. And what did it show? Ooh, that's right. It showed the mom going into the room, finding the clothes that Aiden Fucci was allegedly wearing. Good guess, because apparently they were covered in blood. And she washed them and then put them back into her room. Authorities also say they found the clothing with stained blood as well as a hunting knife. The police believe that the hunting knife was the murder weapon as it was missing a tip on it. And the authorities found the tip in Bailey's body during the autopsy. It's also alleged that Aiden Fucci's mother, Miss Smith, is allegedly seen with other witnesses inspecting the jeans several times before returning the clothing item to her son's bedroom. We'll continue to follow this case, and there's breaking news that perhaps Mr. Fucci did not have the best upbringing, and his father has a somewhat limited but maybe significant criminal history. Certainly no defense to the young Aiden Fucci. However, it may be used for mitigation purposes to present that to the district attorney. I doubt the district attorney is going to give two hoots about how Aiden Fucci grew up. The district attorney is simply going to say he stabbed a 13-year-old 114 times. That's all that they are going to care about. Let me know what you think. A family that does crime together stays together? Let's see. I guess they could, mom and son could be doing a little time together. We'll wait and see. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell is doing her best. She gets an A for effort. Ghislaine Maxwell's attorneys are trying to obtain the diaries of Annie Farmer. And in this particular request, the defense has issued a subpoena, and that subpoena was quashed by the court. And what quashed means is that the witness in this particular case, Ms. Farmer, does not have to turn over those diaries. However, the court did say, like great legal fashion, it could change based upon her testimony and answers she may give, and answers that she may give on examination. The court characterized the request at this time as a fishing expedition and wasn't going to allow it, but did say that depending on the answers on the witness stand, it may open the door for those diaries to be turned over. We'll wait and see. Wouldn't you love to know what was in those diaries? All right, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Crime Talk aficionados, we need to help try and find this guy. Take a look at this image. Police are looking for this man because they say that he walked into a Dunkin' Donuts store, robbed the manager at the store. She complied, and then this guy is alleged to have fired a fatal shot, striking the manager in the head. Philadelphia Police Department has provided surveillance video footage from the store showing the suspect and is asking the public to take a close look. The subject is described in his late 30s to early 40s, a mustache and goatee, and a medium to stocky build. He was last seen in the footage wearing a blue zip-up hoodie, gray cargo sweatpants, light gray New Balance sneakers, an analog watch on his right wrist, blue gloves, and a blue COVID mask. The manager at the Dunkin' Donuts store was Christine Lugo. She was 41 years old, a mother of two, and a new grandmother. There is a $20,000 reward that's being offered for any information leading to an arrest and conviction of this alleged suspect. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but as you can see from this video, he is carrying a gun in his right hand and obviously intended to use it. This guy's dangerous. Let's get him off the streets. Next on the docket, a guy who's not going to get the Father of the Year award. John Henry James III, 32, is now facing multiple felony charges, including two counts of aggravated child abuse, after allegedly tossing the two-month-old child at a deputy in an apartment complex parking lot on May 26. Now, the police said, "You can throw a baby at us and expect us to treat you with kid gloves." No, you can't. You can't throw a baby at us and expect us to treat you with kid gloves. Dash cam and aerial helicopter footage released Friday shows key parts of the chase, including a too far-fetched for Hollywood ending where the infant appears to be thrown in a deranged Hail Mary play. Can you believe that? Running from the police, and your only way out is to throw your two-month-old child in the hopes that the police officers are going to protect the child, which they did, and John Henry James III, he still got arrested. So it's good to see the cops were being the good guys and everything turned okay for them and the child. John Henry James, not a good move, not cool at all. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet Casey Garcia. Now, this may sound very familiar to a story we brought to you months ago, where a woman was trying to promote her Instagram account and infiltrated a high school, asking everyone to follow her account. Well, this lady is facing similar charges. Why? Because she thought it would be a social experiment to find out if she could successfully infiltrate a middle school disguised as a 13-year-old. Casey Garcia is 30. She actually has a seventh grader attending the Garcia Enriquez Middle School near El Paso, and whose security process she wanted to test by going undercover as a student just to see how far she could go without being caught. And what's the logical thing to do? That's right, when you're gonna break the law, record it and post it on YouTube and TikTok, saying that it is a social experiment. Miss Garcia does a full incognito attempt, undergoing a makeup routine and a wardrobe change just to pull it off. She actually does look like a middle schooler, and she made it through about 85% of the day without being undetected. She's seen walking through the halls, interacting with faculty, sitting in class, listening to lectures, and even eating lunch at one point, and no one seems to notice that she's an adult. You gotta give her a little credit, even though it was a dumb thing to do, because now she's being charged with obviously trespassing. Miss Garcia thought it was no big deal, but the school took it a little more seriously because, you know, when people go into schools that aren't supposed to be there, you're not testing the system, you're trespassing, and God forbid, you do something stupid. Needless to say, Miss Garcia has been charged. We'll continue to follow the case to see what the outcome of her case will be. And finally, the winner of our Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week from last week, an unidentified male who happened to go into the Airbnb rented by a bunch of sheriffs attending a class where he had no recollection of where he was or how he got there because he was too intoxicated. Fortunately, the police cut him a little bit of a break, but he was still being charged. So our unidentified guy, all you gotta do is contact us. We'll send you some Crime Talk gear. Now, let me show you some cool gear that just came in. It kind of started out as kind of a joke, but I really kind of like this. Look at this. Miss Winnie, the hardest working dog in show business. That's right. She's shown up here on Crime Talk Live. She has her own TikTok account. Can you believe it? I think she has more people on TikTok following her than Crime Talk has following us. That's true. Anyway, if you like the t-shirt, check it out. Go to the link below. You can get that along with a lot of other cool stuff. I'm sure the lovely Miss Kristen will love this. And I think we even got a small one that maybe even Miss Winnie can put on her. I can't wait to show it to you. All right. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow night, we have our live Tuesday Night Live. Please join us, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll see you then. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.